Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a nice weekend. My granddaughter, Crystal, spent the weekend with us, and she and I went on a little shopping trip yesterday. I always enjoy her company. She's even talked on the show before. She's pretty special. She is a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun with her. I am hoping that everybody can hear me because it looks as though my call didn't go through. Ah, never a dull moment. I'm going to wait and see when Shelly calls in if I can hear her. It's telling me that there's an issue with my dashboard, so I hope everybody hears me. Today's show is going to be about a very interesting topic. And ironically, as often, things just kind of come together. I get information just comes to me by chance. This past week, I spoke to a woman who has several children. I'm going to guess she's in her late 30s, maybe even early 40s. And she caught a couple of her kids, kind of experimenting with their bodies. And when she talked to me about it, she referred to them as them having sex. And even though I was shocked, luckily we were on the phone so she couldn't see my face, and I said, how old are these kids? And she said, 5 and 7. And I said, you actually witnessed these children fornicating? And she didn't know what fornicating meant. So we talked a little bit, and I came to the conclusion that that's not what was going on at all. They were more or less playing doctor, which is an age-old, issue. Through the years, having raised 4 kids of my own, brothers and sisters, and knowing the things that happened to me as a child. The truth is, all kids are inquisitive, very inquisitive about their bodies. And experimenting with them is normal. Not the nicest thing for a parent to have to deal with, but a part of life. And to be honest with you, if you don't talk about it, it can get really, really confusing for a child. Really confusing. So, I really don't understand, though. The sad part is, how come little kids are not talked to? I don't get that. I really don't get that. Why moms and dads don't discuss it. Shell, I can't see you on here. They tell me they're trying to fix it. So what I'd like you to do is just talk and see if I hear you. There's no way for me to click you in. Seven, eight. Maybe if I put in your phone number. 561-784. Oh, God, I never remember your phone number. Your house phone. that didn't help. So I don't know what to do. Are you trying to talk to me? Well, keep trying, Shel, and keep trying to just click on the phone. I don't know what else to do. I might have to do the show solo. As long as you can hear me, though, I'm assuming that other folks can hear me that are listening, and I know that it's running on my website. So because of this conversation, and I talked to the mom, and I said, you know, it's pretty normal to have kids that age experimenting with their bodies, and not unusual at all. So I don't understand how you think that they're having. And I said, sex means that they're penetrating. She says, no, the little boy just was aroused. And I said, so again, that doesn't mean having sex. And it is kind of normal that, you know, that they do that, that they experiment because they have feelings. So she still didn't get it. And so I hung up the phone and I thought to myself, could it be that with all the talk about sex and promiscuity and experimentation and all the things that we know as adults, we don't talk to our kids about it? And I guess it is true. I guess it's really true. So then I get this flyer in the mail about an organization called Lauren's Kids, Preventing Child Abuse and Healing Survivors. Now, this organization is to not just protect kids against abuse, but particularly sexual abuse. I want to read you a couple statistics. There's 42 million childhood sexual abuse survivors in the United States alone. 42 million. Approximately 20% of sexual abuse victims are younger than 8 years old. Only 3% of sexual abuse cases involving people with disabilities are ever reported. 90% of sexual abuse cases involve someone the child knows, loves, and trusts. 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys are sexually abused before the age of 18. Now, did you hear those numbers? 1 in 3 girls, 1 in 5 boys. Now, here's the saddest part. Only 30% of sexual abuse is ever reported. The average sexual predator will abuse 50 girls before ever being caught or convicted. Now, I think this is what they're suggesting, and I agree with this. Break the silence. Talk with your kids to prevent child abuse. That it's okay to tell. And I think probably the most important thing that you have to get through to them is that even if their body betrayed them by reacting, even if they were interested or excited or anything, that it's not their fault, and they still need to share anything like that that has happened. Here's what they write on the flyer. Open and honest communication in your family is essential to sexual abuse prevention. Trust is the basic foundation of all relationships. Amen. And sadly, it's the tool used most by the sexual predator. But you have the strongest tool in this battle. Daily conversation with your family. Remember that your children value your opinion more than any other. even if it doesn't always feel that way, they do. As an example on how to talk with your children, you might say, "No one has the right to touch you or make you feel uncomfortable, including people you know and trust." Someone might tell you to keep it a secret, but they're wrong. You can tell me anything. For more ways to talk to your child about making safer and smarter choices, I suggest that you visit Lauren's Kids Safer, Smarter Kids Interactive Toolkit online. Now, the website for this is www.laurenskids.org. It's all caps, and Lauren is spelled LaurenSKids.org. Now, before I got this, and I realized that there were issues with a lot of different things. Hello?
Hi,
honey. I'm on my show. Am I taking you today?
Yes, that'd be awesome.
What time?
Maybe here at 11:45.
Yep. See you then. Bye-bye. So, sorry, everybody. Grandson, I knew that he was going to need me, but I tried to wake him up before I started the show, and of course that was impossible. So I was already prompted to talk about this because of the conversation I had with this lady. And I was already upset about the fact that she really, really didn't know the difference. So then I questioned, how is somebody supposed to assume that a parent is discussing this kind of normal, albeit not too easy to deal with, normal behavior? So I think one of the things that needs to be discussed more than anything is, what is normal behavior? And I want you to think about yourselves. Now, I did go to some sites, and pretty much the way I feel about it is the way it's explained by child psychologists, psychiatrists, different organizations that work on this and do, you know, the ask the right questions and run surveys. Now, the issue with a lot of those kind of things that I have, a problem with is you never know if somebody's being honest. So here's what I do know. In my tenure at the Institute, I counseled a lot of people. And even at age, well, I started at the Institute when I was like in my early 50s. And I was shocked to find out how many women in particular, not just women, but more women than men, had been abused by their dad, their uncle, their older brother. And then when I'd talk, it became a game of participation. And that always upset me too. And it doesn't do any good when you're talking to somebody about something like this to say, "Oh my God, what were you thinking?" or anything like that, because that's already what they're thinking to themselves. So here's where I think it needs to start. I think you need to explain to a young child. All little boys wake up in the morning, well, not all the time, but all little boys at one time or another wake up in the morning aroused. Usually because they have to urinate. Not understanding that gives you reason to believe something's wrong with you, that you're not like everybody else. And you certainly can't talk to another friend, because what if it is strange and then they're going to look at you like you're, you know, something's wrong with you. So imagine the mind of a 5-year-old. Realizing that he has feelings there, and he has found a way for self-gratification. So maybe that makes something wrong with me. Why am I like this? And if nobody ever talks, because he's not going to tell anybody, because he's already decided that he's weird, that there's something wrong with him. So it's his own secret. So what you really have to do is you have to open those lines of communication yourself. And you have to say, yes, I know everybody has those feelings. Just hearing that when you think you're the only weirdo in the family relaxes you a little bit, puts you in a better place. Then you're not so afraid to ask questions. Or then you're not so afraid to, let go of some of the punishment you're given to yourself. So in a world where for years I've seen jokes written about the little boys who are caught masturbating by the priest, and the priest sees them and says, you got to stop that, you'll go blind. And the one little boy says, well, can we do it just until we need glasses? I mean, so everybody knows it. Everybody gets it. But nobody wants to talk about it with any kind of, education, so that your child doesn't think there's something wrong with them or that they're some kind of a pervert. Because they see these jokes all over the internet. They see people making fun of people that do certain things. So where do they go with that? They internalize it and they think there's something wrong with them. And they're not normal, when in reality, they're very normal. So if you don't talk about this with them, you see what I'm saying? If you don't talk about this with them, they never know the truth. They never know if everything is normal with them, okay with them. Are they like everybody else, or are they weird? Now, another story. And I had a long talk with my granddaughter about this yesterday, because she sat in my office with me while I was preparing for the show, and I said, this is an issue. This is, I think sometimes, this is why young girls get so promiscuous. And I think I've talked about on the show before all of the young girls experimenting with lesbianism. Now, I know, and people can tell me I'm wrong, people can disagree with me, that's your prerogative, but I know that you're born with those kind of pre-decided things about your future. I don't totally understand the genes and the chromosomes and all that stuff, but I do get that they have a lot to do with the deciding factors. Now, we all know that there are children born, I would say it's not a big number, I didn't look this up, that are their sex has not been predetermined. In other words, they're not born with a vagina, or they're not born with a penis. In some cases, they're born with both. And then there's a decision made in the very early part of their birth to make a choice for them. How bad can that be? How wrong can that be? And you've seen lots of stories. You've seen stories that are dramatizations. You've seen stories that are true of the decision being the wrong one. And then you have a little boy growing up in a girl's body. You have a little girl growing up in a boy's body. However, I don't think that's the reason for homosexuality at all, but that exists as well. So what really happens is, how come if I see something, I get a funny feeling there? Or how come if I wake up in the morning and just reach down to scratch myself, I enjoy it? You got to talk about that. You got to talk about it. You got to you got to make your child understand that there are some things that are very personal and very private, but it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's kind of normal. And if you are the kind of person that brings God into all of your conversations, which is wonderful, but if you do, then you say, you know, God gave us these parts so that we could reproduce, so that we could make babies, and so we could be closer with one person in our life than we are with anyone else in the world. You have to explain it like it's supposed to be. You have to explain it like it's okay, it's normal. It's something you need to wait for. And why do you need to wait for it? Good question. You need to wait for it because along with those feelings come very, very involved emotions. And I've made this comment a million times. There were times in my 20s and 30s when I wasn't prepared for the emotions of sex, the act of sex. So at 5, you're certainly not. But at 5, sometimes even younger than that, you get the stirrings. You get the stirrings already. So somebody has to tell you that that's normal, that it's okay. And that a lot of times all you have to do is think about something else and they subside if you're worried about having them too often or if you're worried about them consuming you or whatever the case might be. But the big thing is that they have to know that everybody goes there, that it's not something that, you know, is unusual or mean that you're goofy. So I think that the biggest thing that we can teach our kids is the normalcy of those feelings and about the privacy, about the fact that you are okay. There's nothing wrong with the way you're feeling. There will come a time in your life when this will be a very enjoyable part of your life. However, the other part that worries me is about the reaction from parents when they know something is already going on. And I have some strict rules, and it didn't always stop it either, but I always had some strict rules that if you have kids that get to play alone in bedrooms, outside in a tent, in a tent that you've made for them in the living room out of blankets, and no supervision, I can almost promise you, I can almost guarantee you that something will be going on. Something. And if you don't supervise your kids, then you're looking for trouble. And it doesn't have to be boys and girls. It can be boys and boys. It can be girls and girls. It can be two girls and a boy. It can be two boys and a girl. I don't care. If they're that age, that part of them is already awakened through nature. And now they're inquisitive. And if nobody's talked to them about any of this stuff, they will experiment. You show me yours, I will show you mine. It is like something that's been going on for years and years and years and years. So talk, teaching, guiding, which is your job as the adult, is imperative. Imperative. Who's to say that the young boy who never gets counseled on his feelings is not one of the young boys that turns into somebody who takes that kind of activity by force. Who's to say that the young child, the young girl, that never gets counseled on her feelings or is allowed to talk about them openly is not somebody who turns to a life of prostitution? I don't know if that's true. On my part, though, having talked to as many people as I've talked to, listened to as many stories as I've listened to, most people that go in a way that is not socially acceptable, their confusion is within. Their confusion is because they were left to find their own answers for things that are age old, for things that have been there forever, and nobody ever talked to them about it. That's our fault. I, as always, will accept blame in that arena. I did talk to my kids about sex. I did tell my kids that it's something that is to be cherished. I taught my kids that I felt that it was something also that occurred with somebody that you wanted to be close to for some period of time. And here's the truth. I don't know whether they did or not. Okay, there's the truth. But I did say it, and I did talk about it. And the first time I realized that there might be some funny business going on with a little boy that I was babysitting, I separated everybody for nap time. I never let anybody play in a closed room. Doors should never be closed when little kids are playing together. And I want to say something else because I've seen this happen a lot of times. And that is, you bring a new baby home. You have a little boy at home that's 3 or 4. And you bring a new baby girl home. And you change the diaper in front of the little boy. If you don't answer questions about the anatomy, you're making a big mistake. Because the inquisitiveness of a 3 to 5 year old boy may be a problem for you. So you can't pretend that things are not what they are. You have to talk about everything. And sometimes maybe you need to think back about your own childhood. Did somebody talk to you? Did somebody make you feel all right about some of the things that you didn't know would happen to you? I know girls that never were prepared for getting their menstrual period. Never. They thought they were sick and something was wrong with them. I also, not very long ago, spoke with a young woman, 16, who decided that she was gay. I said, okay. I said, that's all right. Are you comfortable with who you are? And she said, well, I didn't think I was in the beginning, but I can't stop masturbating. And I said, okay. And she said, so I must be gay. And I went, I don't think that that's the deciding factor. I don't think that that has anything to do with that. She said, well, then why can't I control that? Why do I have to do that all the time? And I said, that's another issue. And I think you need to talk to somebody who's, really, really educated in that arena. And I'm sorry you didn't talk to anybody about it before, because now she is experimenting with other girls because of her masturbation issues. She thinks she's gay. Maybe she is, but also maybe she's not. But the point is that she's unbelievably confused. Unbelievably confused. And that's not right. If somebody had just talked to her and answered some questions, she would be okay with herself. She would be comfortable with herself. So I don't know what all the answers are for this, that's for sure. But I do know it's an issue. And I do know that if you don't have an open conversation about this, then that's when some of the really dark stuff happens. That's when you have incest. That's when you have sexual abuse happen because nobody knows what's happening to them. Nobody gets it. Some of the things that they talked about on this flyer about don't let anybody make you feel uncomfortable. Okay. So if you say that to me, I get what you're saying. I don't like to feel uncomfortable about a lot of things. So I usually don't let myself go there. But I'm almost 66 years old, not six. So if you are uncomfortable and you are in a place where somebody is telling you that it's your secret and their secret and that it's perfectly normal and that it's okay and you're not doing anything wrong and all of this is natural. Well, things that are natural and okay and perfectly normal are okay to talk about at the dinner table. Are okay to talk about with your teacher or your mom or your dad or your big sister or your big brother, anybody. If they're perfectly normal, they're okay for you to share with everybody. So that's one of the guidelines. If somebody's telling you that something is normal and everybody does this, but they don't want you to tell anybody, then something's wrong. They're not being honest with you. So my point is teach your children to ask questions. Teach your children to be aware of what's right or what's wrong. This is what's important. Is the open communication. And teach them that if an adult or somebody who's older than they are, who appears to be relatively speaking in charge, and they tell you to keep something a secret, big flags should go up all around that person. And they need to tell you, the parent, about that person. And I don't care if it's another parent. I don't care if it's your older brother, your older sister. It's not about the punishment due to the perpetrator at this point in time. It's about the harm that's being done to that child, first and foremost. It's about what those secrets, that secret, is doing to the little boy or little girl that's suffering through it. Sometimes, even in the beginning, they're okay with it because they just think it's they just think that because they trust you or they trust them and they love them in a lot of cases, that if the perpetrator says all the right things, they feel like they're getting closer to the perpetrator, that they're loving the perpetrator. So it's important that they understand the difference between something that's okay and something that's not okay. And that's really, really, really your job to do. So I have more to say, but I want to take a second to apologize, because if you are trying to call in, Shelley's tried to call in 3 or 4 times, it's not coming up, and Blog Talk is telling me that they are working on it right now. But that's what I'm going to try to do, is I'm going to try to sign off and then call back in and see if it's working now, because they may not be able to fix it in midstream. That's what Shelley just texted me too. So let's try that. I apologize if you're on the air with me or listening. Don't go away, because I'll be right back. Okay, they reconnected me, but my switchboard still shows no callers, including my own number. And I wasn't able to post to my network, but it tells me, Blog Talk tells me that my show is still live. So I'm going to keep talking about this, because I think it's a really, really important subject. And I'm sorry that Shelley can't join me. Shelley, if you want to get on Facebook and text me some stuff if you have questions, or anybody else would like to go to Facebook and text me, I can go to my Facebook page and answer questions that people might have. It is important, though, that we talk about this. We talk about this with our young people. And it is important that we make it very clear to our tweens, you know, the kids that are 10, 11, 12, because according to my information and the stuff I read and the stuff I'm told on a daily basis, is there's already experimentation, consensual experimentation at that age, in that age group. There's also some misunderstandings or incorrect information for young people, knowing the difference between things like oral sex and actual fornication or penetration, all those kind of things. You need to talk about that technical stuff too, because let's face it, it's a big arena and it's confusing. And I mean, it's not just what it started out to be. It's not just an act of closeness, love, and the ability to reproduce. It's become a major facet in our world today, sex. I mean, they wrote a song, let's talk about S-E-X, let's talk about S-E-X, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, it is what it is. And when you got little kids growing up all around you and they hear all this talk, they see the things on TV. I mean, this morning on the news, they were showing some kids on one of the beaches, and there's all these girls walking around, you know, half-dressed. And it's somebody sent me a joke yesterday about learning how to have a personality once you don't look good in a bikini. And I thought, oh my God. But it is the way it is. It's true. As much as I find it distasteful, it's true. And let me say this. I'm starting to sound like I'm in some way, shape, or form against sex. I am not. I've been happily married for 47 years, and sex was always an important part of our life together. But it still needs to be explained. I didn't understand it. I had no clue anything about it. I don't remember my parents discussing it with me with any information or honesty. I remember hearing my mother say to my younger brother, don't do that, you know, that's private and, you know, that's not nice, or things like that. It's the kind of stuff she would say. And so again, if you hear that and you do experiment or you do anything privately, then you think you're a weirdo, a sicko, because you heard mom say to your brother, you know, that's disgusting, you can't do that, and stuff like that. So your words have to be chosen wisely. And if you need help with that, there's plenty of sites out there that can tell you, show you, explain to you what the right thing to do is. I think that it's imperative, though, today, with everything that goes on in the world. I look at some of our starlets. My feelings are so hurt by Miley Cyrus. Here's this cute little Hannah Montana star. All my grandchildren watched her, even the boys. They all loved her. They got such a big kick out of everything she could do. And she got crazy. Do you think it's because they tried to make her too much of a goody-two-shoes and didn't talk to her about the things or the feelings she was going to have once she developed and once she became, you know, who she is today? Now, I don't see a picture without her in some kind of a, I don't know, off-the-wall pose and a, you know, half-dressed. And I just think to myself, now when you talk about somebody who's screaming out for a little bit of help, that would be her. Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, all these young girls who were born with so much talent, and it all turned into something else. It all turned into how risque they could look in a bikini, how seductive they could be up on the stage instead of just singing or entertaining. So when you talk about child abuse, in my eyes, that's abusive. To not look at a kid and say, you're going overboard. They don't know whether they are or not. And if everybody's applauding them and their ratings are going up and everybody's going crazy, telling them all this stuff and everything, why would they want to do anything else? Why? Why would they want to change anything except for, you know, maybe getting more risque, a little bit more over the top? Here's something Shelley just wrote to me. Some of the sexual interest is age-appropriate and normal, but some sexual drive is caused by hormone imbalance brought on by steroids and growth hormone in factory-farmed meats. Young children are actually getting sex drives before they are emotionally ready. Media also stimulates this conduct too early. Now, all those facts are true, and we've talked about that on the show, on some of the health shows. We've discussed a lot of times about the steroids in meat, about the fact that a 12-year-old very often looks like an 18-year-old. Hair on a boy who's 14 in eighth grade, for me, not one boy in my class was shaving. All my grandchildren shaved by the time they're 14, except Josh. Josh is not, his makeup is not one of heavy hair. Mike and Austin has a full beard. He's, you know, he's 17. He has a full beard. So Shelley's right about that. And along with all that growth, along with all of that hormonal activity, comes a lot of the strife with making decisions about what's right and what's wrong. If you are having a day where you're so worried about other things that are going on in your life, and you're at work, right, and you can't think of anything else but what's going on in your life, you don't do a good job at work, do you? I mean, we all know that, right? That's a simple fact. imagine you're 12 and all of a sudden you're wearing a C-cup bra. You are fully developed every place else. If you're a boy, you're fully developed. You're getting a six-pack. You're growing facial hair, and you have all those urges, because those urges start when you're very young. But as you grow, like Shelley says, with the hormones and with all the additives that are in a lot of the food that you consume, a lot of the even drinks and things like that. I mean, every teenager I know drinks energy drinks, much to my chagrin. The fact that I won't buy them, we're at a store, what do you want to drink? Can I have an energy drink? No, you can't. So there's a lot of additives. But the point is, even if we took all that stuff away, you would still have to take the time to talk to your child and help them get through this part of their life. Because if you don't, the ramifications will show later, in the later part of their life. I can't stress enough how tough it is to not know who you can ask something so personal to. So if you don't have an open line of communication with that, with your kid, who are they going to talk to? My granddaughter said to me yesterday, she says, well, you know, we learn a lot of things in school. And I smiled, and she goes, what? We do, Graham. Everybody talks about all this stuff. And I said, but they don't have any knowledge. They're on the same level as you. So everything they're saying to you is very often conjecture, or what they think, or what they saw on television. Is there any young kid you know that really has bona fide answers that are really going to make a difference? I don't know, she says to me. And I said, I do know. Their answers are going to be based on their experiences. And if their experiences have not been good ones, then you more than likely are getting the wrong answer. And she goes, yeah, I guess that's true. And she says, but there's also, you know, you can even Google stuff on the computer. And I said, and that's great. I love the information highway. I use it all the time. Love it, love it, love it. But you also have to know what questions to ask to get the right answers. You get that. And she smiled at me, and I said, I'm serious. If you ask one question, you're going to get an answer that's appropriate to that. If that's not really the information you're looking for, then you're going to even be more confused. You need somebody to talk with you. You say this, then I say that. Then you see, she says to me, Grandma, I know you and I talk all the time. And I said, right. But you had some confusion. She'll be 18 in April. And she's very strong-willed. She's very aware of what she thinks she should be, who she thinks she should be, how she thinks she should act. She is a bit of a mentor for a lot of her friends because she seems to have a really good head on her shoulders. Now, having said that, I don't think she makes all the right decisions about everything. Luckily for me, I can say, what's going on with you? And she'll tell me. So a lot of times, without any, you know, without any disaster happening, or without anything happening that may be hazardous to her well-being, we've talked about it before. She has a great line of communication open with her father and her mother. So she's pretty right on. Not about everything. She's still 17. She's still got some confusion about, you know, a few things. But she gets it. In the long run, she gets it. And it's all about being able to talk. It's all about being able to share. But your five-year-old isn't going to come up to you and ask certain questions. You have to initiate that conversation. Your seven-year-old isn't going to come up and say to you, something's wrong with me. You know, my you know, every time I turn around, this is sticking straight up and this is happening and what's wrong with me. It's not going to say that to you because you won't even know how to verbalize it. As you see, I struggled with how to say it. So how's he going to tell you? You have to initiate those conversations so that the open line of communication, so he's comfortable, she's comfortable with talking to you about her body, his body, about what's going on, the feelings, the emotions, everything. And I would say to you that if you have a child who is really developing quickly, and by that I mean everything is developing, facial hair, the etching in their skin, they start losing the baby look on their face. I mean, it's your child. You look at them every day. All of a sudden you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, he's only 14 and he looks like a man already. Sometimes it's in their genes, but sometimes it's like Shelley says, it's too many hormones in their food. If you live a very fast-paced lifestyle and your child is growing up on Burger King, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, all those places, McDonald's, maybe you need to pay attention to what you're doing. I'm not going to counsel everybody on the fact that the old story, you are what you eat, is much truer than most of you believe or understand. So here's some more stuff from Shell. Schools should teach appropriate and healthy interactions with family and others and offer counseling for kids who then realize what they are experiencing is confusing or uncomfortable or scary. They do that, Shell. Crystal and I talked about that yesterday. They do have health classes and things like that where they talk about your body. But she says most of the conversations are about the hygiene. For girls, it's a whole lot about their menstruation, and it's a whole lot about the care and their personal hygiene. Their hair. They even talk about washing their hair and keeping themselves clean and all that kind of stuff. I've never had one of the boys tell me anything but laugh at me and say, you know, yeah, they tell us about sex, sort of, Grandma. And I'm like, so I want to say that all of my grandchildren over the age of 16 are sexually active. And am I happy with that? No, I'm not, but it is what it is. Shelley also mentions, what about being touched inappropriately? Okay, so let's go to that very quickly. Let's talk about the fact that you have a teacher or a family friend or even an uncle. Or if you're a guy, maybe you have an aunt that makes you feel like her hug is inappropriate or makes you feel uncomfortable, or the way he grabs your hand and pulls you on his lap is inappropriate and makes you uncomfortable. You need to say something. You need to say something to your parents right away. If you have a teacher, recently there's been a lot of that in the news, very disheartening, but there has been. And it's usually with teenagers who are older than their years. I say that not to give excuses, but because it's true, and things are happening between teachers and students. Now, there's also movies and TV which glorify. I mean, one of my favorite all-time movies was The Graduate. That was child abuse. I mean, he's a college kid who's just getting the hang of living in life, and he meets Mrs. Robinson, who seduces him. Now, we all found it very entertaining because he wasn't 15, but he could have been. Then, of course, we have these teachers that right now have been prosecuted and what have you for giving birth to, you know, their eighth grade student's child. So it's not like it's not out there. It's not like the forum isn't there for you to discuss it. But you must discuss it, and it must start early. And if you don't understand it, then you need also to get some help, whether that means, you know, finding information on the internet, talking to a very, very close friend. But you need to understand what sex is, the actual act of sex, the difference between oral sex and penetration. You also need to understand masturbation and all that goes with it, and be available to discuss that with your child when the time is right. And I cannot stress this enough. If you have children between the ages of 3 and 10 that you take care of, that spend a lot of time alone together, beware and be careful and be smart. Don't let them spend time alone. Don't let them all sleep in a bedroom together. You can't. And if you do have to, because of the confines of your home or the space that you have to work with, you need to be there. You need to be in there with them. The door needs to be opened. You need to be smart, especially if you're not discussing this with them. If you're discussing it with them, chances are things might be better. I do think, Shelley says, I'm talking about incest. Some victims don't have an arena to even recognize it, should, or can stop. If discussed with a solution at the house, edge ready, it can be dealt with earlier. I'm not sure what she's saying. Discussed with a solution. At the ready, it can be dealt with earlier, is what I meant. Okay, well, she's talking about just what I said. She's talking about making sure that you talk about it. And incest, as she mentions, can happen very, very, very early. And if it's happening in your home with your child, with your spouse, wake up. Pay attention. You can't ignore things and make them not real. Big lesson. You can't pretend something's not real when it's standing right there in front of you. So doing the infamous head in the sand routine won't work. So big subject. Big subject. We're going to talk about it again. And I want to hear input. I know there's lots of stories out there. Wednesday, we're going to have a special show with Daniel Sohn, and we're going to talk about identity theft, and he's come up with some solutions for that. There's some companies that are coming out there that are helping with identity theft. And I also am going to make a posting on Facebook. And I'd like cancer survivors to tell their stories. And if you don't want to tell your story or write it yourself, please contact me and I'll help you design it, because I think we need some upside of all the bad news with illness and cancer. And now I have a lot of friends out there who've brought themselves to a better place with lifestyle. So I'd love to hear from all of you. But everybody go out and have a great day. I'm so sorry about the technical difficulties today, but I think the show was recorded and it should be live on my website today. So God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, Shell. Bye-bye.